You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We've done a lot of stuff today on this show between the great discussion with Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. Brad from Solidarity Healthcare freaked you guys out when he talked about the Merck COVID drug. When he talked to his doctors, there's what they call the method of action in a drug that is amazingly similar to ivermectin. All right. And so it costs $17 a pill to make, and they cut a deal with the government to buy it for, hold on, I gotta get my sound thing, $417 a pill. So was everyone crapping on ivermectin lately because they knew the ivermectin kind of like Merck pill was coming that we had to pay 40 times more than it was produced for? As we like to say in science, yikes. And then we had Jorge Rivas. Whoa. Well, there's Frank again. Can't get rid of him. Jorge Rivas running for governor. And a lot of people responding to the guys. You know, he's honest and he's passionate about his feelings, right? He's passionate about living in this country, living in this state. And it resonates with a lot of people. And so remember, RivasForGovernor.com. How the hell am I get my John C. voice? Let's bring on City Insider Richard Studwell. Richard, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. And you?
Living the dream.
All right.
Living the dream.
Yes, we are.
So, Richard, for all you newbies, Richard used to work for the city finance department, right?
Finance and Development Services.
That's right. And that was when the first Star Wars came out, right?
Right. A long time
ago. A galaxy far, far away. Yeah. And then you were just telling Jorge and I a story of advice you got from an architect. Can you tell that story? All the times we've talked, you never told that story like on the air. I'd love for you to share that with people.
Oh, that was when I worked down there, and this fellow came in from out of town. He was working on a project that developed a lot of jobs.
Right.
And he was amazed the way he got run around in circles. But when he came to me, I would make a phone call or get involved and try to help him. And when he left, he came in the office and he said, I wanted to say goodbye before I left. And he says, I would have liked to bought you a gift for all the help, but I know you would not, you wouldn't take a gift. So he says, I'm going to give you something that's worth more than anything I could afford to buy anyhow. He says, I'm going to give you some advice. And I said, great. And he says, get the hell out of here. You can make more money out in the world. But his point was that he wasn't really thrilled with how he was getting treated by bureaucracy here.
Late 70s.
Yeah. It got worse, but I think it's getting better, to be honest with you. I really think it's getting better.
Why would you say such things, Richard, and give people false hope?
Well, there are a lot of new people.
Okay.
And the new people don't have the old people around to tell them how to make things hard for folks. We had some pretty anti-growth people, pretty anti-business people for a long time in the city.
So remember when Ernie was running Development Services,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is Duarte, right?
Early, yes, Ernie.
Ernie Duarte, right? And this is when Joe and I first started the show.
Uh-huh.
And you're on the show. We're talking about Ernie. Ernie's catching a lot of hell, right? Uh-huh. But you explained to us, and it was true, that Ernie was strapped with all of these lifelong bureaucrats
right.
that have been rotting in Development Services mm-hmm. and developed that no culture.
Right.
And you can't get rid of them unless you find child pornography on their computer, basically, mm-hmm. because of the way, once you work for the city, you're in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what we're saying is, it finally, time has got it that they've retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we have new, fresh faces that might act like normal human beings again.
We do. We have some really good people. And we have a good city manager. That's probably ruined his career because I like him.
He's not getting renewed.
After that, because there are a couple council people I still think we need to get rid of.
Sure.
You know, that just aren't working to make a lot of things happen for the city. But we need to. This is a city that has to grow up, and it has to get rid of some of this NIMBY stuff. and be more realistic.
Aren't we the, we're like the, if there was a class on city planning, right, mm-hmm. where NIMBYism goes wrong, mm-hmm. right? For all the things that the NIMBYs and, you know, you and I have talked famously in, or infamously about neighborhood associations, right?
Right.
And they always say, we want to keep the character of this town or whatever. And through their NIMBYism, they've literally made, Tucson just keeps looking worse.
Yes, it does. It does. Well, a lot of the college kids, and I deal with a lot of the college kids, they come in and their parents are going, wow, this place never changes. And the kids call it the dirty tea, you know.
Right.
So it's a dusty, dirty, unchanging part. Now, they've let them build all these towers, you know, around the university, which is the first thing that they've done that makes it get like a big city. But
isn't density, we know, is a good thing, right? I mean, you were on the Rio
right
Nuevo
place.
Reality Tour with us,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about density has to happen along a streetcar line. That
right.
was one of the big things we've always talked about,
and
right?
It has to happen to make the streetcar worth putting in, correct?
Are we even close to having that kind of density?
There's no density along our streetcar line, no, and it's one of the problems. And so now it's a quaint little thing that we have this trolley through town. And, you know, it's got, the town's got to look into doing more to make development go in the right direction. Instead of just saying no, it needs to get creative.
Well,
we talked about this this new ordinance they have for accessory dwelling units.
All right, hold that second. One question before we go to break, and I want to do the ADUs, as we call them. Some people think in city government, we'll just G-plit our way out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Can we really G-plit our way out of what we're in?
No, and that only helps the wealthy developers. I mean, it doesn't help the guy with the small business and the girl with the small business and, you know, people trying to make a living.
Right. All right, let's go to break. Richard Studwell, Christy Simone, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. And, of course, Matt's on it today. So what do we get? We get Mr. Rogers as our theme song today because, of course, he had a magic trolley also.
Uh-huh.
So Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Matt is earning the paycheck today. Woo! Wake Up Tucson. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. I did put up on my Facebook page the board of directors at the food bank that voted to give $50,000 to do this Prop 206, which is the disastrous minimum wage. And it was so good to see the amount of people who realized their role in this, who said, I used to be a monthly giver and I'll never give to them again because they're playing politics and not feeding people. And it's bad politics.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is creating a bureaucracy, and that's the bad part of it. You know, they've titled it well, and this
right.
is something that some of these folks have gotten really good at, is calling it the mom and apple pie thing. They come up with a really nice title, and $15 is about here, by the way. In fact, I saw something I got in the internet yesterday of a McDonald's offering $18 an hour already.
Right.
But it's not about the $15 an hour. It's about setting up this bureaucracy. And this bureaucracy is going to bleed businesses. And it's not a good thing. It's allowing for these anonymous complaints. And it's allowing for people to, you know, file a false complaint. And they're shielded. And yet, if a business owner accidentally submits a bad report, they can be penalized. You know, it kind of reminds.
And the snitch gets a commission on the fine.
That's right. So a lot of the money winds up, you know, misappropriated. It kind of reminds me of some of these agencies that go out there and they sue the government and they get money, and so they hire more of their friends and they sue the government again and they sue the government again, and they don't really achieve much as far as their title goes.
Right.
And that's bothersome to see that kind of thing happening. This is going to be that again. And I think it's very important for business owners not to just be angry about this and vote against it, but to explain it to their employees, to get out there and talk to a lot of the folks that are going to read the title and say, oh, that sounds like a wonderful thing.
Doesn't this just take us down one more notch or two in relation to trying to bring economic vitality to the city?
Absolutely, it does. It's creating bureaucracy that makes things harder just to get a simple thing done. That, you know, the fact is wages are going up, and we see that every day. You know, people can't get enough workers. There's bonuses you see advertised to nurses in Minnesota. They're giving $10,000 bonus to come there.
Yep.
Things like that are happening, and people are going to get a fair wage.
Well, look at all the cops that went to Queen Creek to get away from TPD, and they got a $16,000 bonus to go do it.
and the place is booming. It's got a whole different attitude up there.
Oh, everyone's got a whole different attitude out there, buddy. Yeah. Yuma's got a better attitude than us, for God's sakes. And I love my humans. Let's talk about this ADU. I see all these people, like, they think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, that we're going to allow people to build, guest homes in their backyard? Is that basically what we're talking about?
Right. They're going to allow a theoretical increase in density. Now, there's a lot that comes into this. It's not going to be easy to do to build these new units. It's going to be expensive to build them. It's trick to do when you have an existing structure. There's already plenty of these going in that are being snuck in, and the city's not doing anything about it. Unpermitted building is rampant out there, and you're seeing garages around the university that are suddenly becoming units, and of course the neighborhood activist lives there, and he's turning his garage into a unit, but he doesn't want a developer who lives in the foothills to come in and build one.
Correct. You
know, we're seeing a lot of that, and that's what's
so funny about this, right? So they're wildcatting these things anyway, especially since the city has no inspectors or anyone to do anything anyway that will actually leave an office, right?
Right.
So that's a problem. But you're right. The neighborhood people who always complain about these student places, mm-hmm. right? And oh, that's too much density. And Karen Ulick wanted to talk about having proof of unrelated people.
Yes.
We kidded around years ago. What, is Karen going to walk around and do blood tests on people, right?
The unrelated people and wanting to check and see if there was a locking doorknob on a bedroom door.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I mean, it was getting ludicrous because Michael Goodman was building a lot of student housing. And
that's a new department they could have, the Department of Locked or Unlocked Doors.
That's right.
At the city of Tucson. So, So yes, it does increase density, mm-hmm. but it's not like it's really enough density to, you know, create the supply.
No,
right?
It's not.
So we have a house. We have high rents mm-hmm. because we don't let anyone build anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And at the same time, because we've scared every real job creator away, we don't have enough real livable wage jobs. That's why you don't do it through minimum wage things. You have people who offer real jobs.
You need real jobs. You need the small business, which is, you know, close to 90% of all the business and jobs in the country are small business jobs.
Yeah.
And these things with, you know, it's nice that they wanted increased density, but, you know, there's a little more to it. Like, for instance, in this one, if you had a lot that was zoned for two units and now you can put three. However, once you get to three, now you need a commercial parking lot, which really fits in nicely in a residential area. You don't want the fellow pulling in off the alley, tucked in under a tree. You want a commercial parking lot, 24-foot opening in the curb and spaces 18 foot by 8.5, paved, regimented landscaping walls and all that stuff, you know. It's just self-defeating. They need to take it a little further. It's a nice step. I mean, we shouldn't criticize them for trying. But
it goes against everything they've ever talked about,
yes,
about keeping
does.
The rustic aesthetic of neighborhoods and all this stuff, right?
Right.
Now everyone gets to get in on it. But in the end, right? So let's say we had a baseball field that was on fire. The whole thing was on fire, right? Mm-hmm. And we had, and that's the housing problem in Tucson. This ADU thing that the city, the alternative dwelling, what kind of, are we throwing a bucket of water on it, on the giant fire with this?
Yeah, maybe a bucket.
It's probably not a cup,
right?
But it's maybe a big bucket, a big Home Depot bucket on an entire baseball field on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this is a joke.
Well, and it needs to go much further. You know, for instance, we've got Grant Road right now. They're tearing up Grant Road.
Right.
And you know what they're going to wind up with when they're done? They're going to wind up with like 80-foot deep lots that nobody's going to be able to build on.
Right.
You know, they're not planning in the sense of planning. The city, and I blame this on the council. I don't blame this on the planning department. The people in the planning department are starting to do things like this ADU. It's a step.
Right.
But the council is in the way of it becoming a big step. So we should be looking at along Grant Road where they're going to tear it up and other roads where they're going to tear it up and say, let's increase the density. Let's change the zoning going back 200 feet. Remember the McDonald's fight on Alvernon and 22nd? The McDonald's wanted to move in there, and they couldn't do it because basically they needed one more house. And it wasn't zoned, and so the neighbors came in and fought, and one guy said he hated the smell of hamburger, so he was against it. You know, all these silly little things instead of what's best for the city.
So what's really great about this is one of the complaints was the Mickey D's needed to have two drive-through lanes. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood complaint was, we don't want to have this exhaust blowing in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So Richard Studwell, before we go to break, what did that lot eventually become?
I think it's a coffee shop.
Correct.
With a line of cars.
It's the Dutch Brothers.
Yeah.
That all it is a line of cars with their exhaust.
All it is, right.
That's the best part, right? Is that was one of the complaints, is we don't want exhaust. Well, now you have a business that all they do is exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
when we come back, too, I want to talk about part of this housing thing is how no one can ever build anything on Swan and Stone, Speedway and Stone, right? Because
yes.
We'll talk about the magic company, the startup at the U of A that does the housing units with the storage containers.
Mm-hmm.
And even they got blocked at Stone and Speedway. I don't know what we're preserving over there, but I want to talk about that with Richard when we come back. You have a question, 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Remember, we got a party on October 29th. I hope you can join us. It's at K Benita on Tankerverde. And please let me know you're coming at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. So tomorrow we got the Larson Schweikert. We got Helgen Gidley, America First. And then Chris is going to run through an Eater article, top 15 hottest new restaurants in Southern Arizona. So wake up. Here we are, building the perfect beast here in Tucson, Arizona, hanging out with Richard Studwell, and again, talking about the city of Tucson. None better to talk to than Richard Studwell. What the hell was I talking about? Right before I said I was going to talk to Richard about, Swan Speedway and Stone.
Yes.
Right? Other than the work that, you know, that's been done at Pima Community College, right, on there, whatever they've done, and it still looks like crap over there. We still got, you know, we got Needle Park over there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when we first started the show, one of the stories was apartment, I think, on the northeast corner, density, right? Jose Ibarra was actually supportive of it. This is pre-Rahina. Yes, there was someone else before Rahina in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that neighborhood association ruined the deal. Right,
yes.
It had to be so many low income. They had to have this. They wanted to use the laundry facilities or whatever, you know. So then there's this Stackhouse company. You know, let's fast forward 14 years later. I get a press release because they're one of the darlings of the U of A startup organization, right? And it says, and they're gonna they take these storage units and turn into low income housing. Okay. And they're proud to announce that their first development is in Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the old, you know, the old Scooby-Doo, right? Why wouldn't you do it here? And then we found out that they tried to do it on Stone and Speedway, and they got Tucson'd.
Yep.
So what, you know, again, for the people out there, what's going on that we can't even do something on Stone and Speedway to improve one of the worst corners in Tucson?
Well, there are some legitimate problems there. Number one, there was a giant cemetery, and the graves are still there, and they're throughout that neighborhood.
Huckleberry built his giant courthouse on a giant cemetery. No one gave a crap.
He spent $17 million moving those graves.
Oh, that's...
You know?
I remember we had one of the ladies who's a longtime Shirley.
and we actually both know Shirley, and she had relatives in that grave. So she calls up the show, and she goes, instead of wasting $17 million, I said, hey, instead of spending $17 million, I go, what if Huck just gave you $1,000? She goes, that's fine. Just leave them there. You know. So anyway, so Richard, we're talking about the housing crisis in Tucson, Arizona. What would be the Studwell doctrine right now that if the city did three things to alleviate that, what would it be?
Well, the city has to be proactive and plan. The city can do that because they have to approve a zoning. You know, it doesn't come, you know, I can go out and ask for a zoning. I used to do that occasionally. It got kind of frustrating. But the fact is, the city should be actually looking at that and saying, you know, we're going to grow. More people are coming here. Lots of people are coming here. When I put up a house for rent, it's a question of, you know, which person do I take?
Right.
I'll have half a dozen applicants a day calling on a house. So we have a shortage. I can tell you that from firsthand knowledge. And I get calls all the time from people. My cousin rented from you 12 years ago. You know, do you have anything available? I'm that desperate that I'm looking. We need to be proactive and plan ahead. And they have done this in some places and not so here. Like I was saying, with the frontage on these major streets, we're tearing up major streets and we're not dealing with the issues. We keep widening roads, and so the size of a lot shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, and the number of regulations increases.
Right.
And it's not a results-based zoning that we're using. We're not, you know, Rio Nuevo does, and Rio Nuevo is successful now, the current group, which is basically a development arm, because they go out there and they say, what do we want to happen? And then they work to make it happen.
Right.
So that's what the city should be doing everywhere.
I was going to say, so if Rio Nuevo's doing that, what's the results we want to happen from rezoning or even putting some money towards something? What's the city's attitude?
Well, the city's attitude should be that this should be done.
But what is it currently?
Currently, it's the whim of the moment. If there's a neighborhood association that has 10 folks against something, that can stop it with a couple of these council people we have.
Right.
You know, we have, and I'm not condemning all of them. Fimbers is phenomenal. He thinks like a business person. But, you know, you've got a couple of the others that are just like, well, I've got six people complaining. Well, that's fine. There's going to be people complaining about everything, you know.
Where's the real opportunity for density of reasonable housing in this town? Where would you identify those geographic areas?
Well, there are areas like the industrial area between Park and Armory Park, south of Broadway.
Right.
That's a great place to do some mixed use because you've got big parcels, you've got rundown buildings that could be redone, and you know, you could have results. It's near all the transportation corridors and so on. We've got this PAD that the university's putting together right now. A lot of people haven't seen that yet because it's in the early stages. But they've got 110 acres, the west side of the freeway between Prince and going south to basically the Fort Lowell alignment. And they're putting together a PAD where they can build 10-story buildings.
Why in the hell would the university need to build anything 10-story buildings?
It's an industrial park, just like the one, the bridges.
Ah,
and,
okay.
And like the old IBM, you know, they're doing the urban planning. And it's funny, I was reading the PAD initial endorsement by the zoning examiner, and they had some conditions of things that couldn't be built. And you can't build a mini dorm in there. You can't, you know, I mean, it's funny how these little things carry over.
Right, sure.
And that's what they're worried about. They're worried about that. Why would you build a mini dorm in a billion-dollar industrial park? It's silly, but that's the kind of stuff they're worried about. They're worried about somebody complaining. A couple vocal people, and those people show up. You know, they go to Kozachik's office and bug him every day. I don't go to Kozachik's office and complain every day. But the folks that have the time that don't have anything going in their life that are coming in with these wild stories, they've got time to be there every day.
Well, Steve's got to be in his office. I mean, now that he got canned by the U of A, mm-hmm. he's producing 28-page newsletters every week.
Oh, my God, yes. And they're about everything but his job. You know? I mean, why do I want to hear about medical treatments from Steve Kozacik? You know? Why do I want to hear about urban planning even from... But
yeah, he spends more time on COVID.
Yes.
Like he's like a wannabe Dr. Fauci.
That's it. Maybe he should join Fauci's staff. You know, we were talking before during the break. You know, when he first came into office, he had some fiscal ideas that were great. He helped stop the waste in Rio Nuevo, where they were going to build that giant hotel. Phoenix lost money on their hotel. Glendale lost money on their hotel. But Tucson didn't because they didn't build it. It was a bad idea.
I will remember, and this is good for you newbies out there. So when Steve Kozacik first got in the office, I remember going, because it was right around the, you know, we're doing post-housing crash, right? And I remember being at the TCC because they were making big decisions about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing you there. And you and some of his staff were putting on all the chairs this amazing packet of information where you guys went through with Steve and identified all these wasteful things the city was spending on. You remember that?
Yes. That was a long time ago and a different person ago.
And that was, I was so blown away on what it was. And those days, Steve was advocating for raises for police.
Yes.
What happened to him? What's the slipping point for Steve? Because is it just Stockholm syndrome? That's the way I see it.
That's a very good explanation.
Where you sympathize with your hostage takers?
Well, that's the council people are bombarded with these folks that come in and want things done, and then what? The biggest mistake the city of Tucson ever made. I mean, ever in the history of the city of Tucson. Was they let the council staffs go from one aide and one secretary to however many they could squeeze into their budget.
Right.
And then they became a duplication of the city staff. So his office or Rahina's office could duplicate planning. And they're second guessing all their staff. They have some tremendous staff at the city of Tucson. Even now, they are hiring some really good people. And then they're second-guessing them. They lost a lot of good people because they wouldn't listen.
So it's amazing about that. So two hires of the last couple of years was Alarcon in transportation and Barber Coffey at Economic Initiatives. And when they first both came in the office, they had promise.
Mm-hmm.
They had ideas. And it took them about 6 months to realize it's not worth it.
You're going to be second-guessed by this council, micromanaged.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
They shouldn't be there. That's not your job as the leader. It'd be like a general who ran around and checked on all of his troops to make sure they had the right amount of ammunition in their belt at that moment in time. That isn't your job. You don't have time for that. And it will get to the point where you're not doing the important things. They are not doing the important things for Tucson because they want to micromanage their staff.
So you're saying that General Patton wasn't running around at the Battle of the Bulge, seeing if everyone had their K rations? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Let's go to break. We're hanging out with Richard Studwell. 790-2040 is the phone number. I hear that Matt Russell might be hosting a 12 o'clock show on KVOI.
Foodie's Paradise.
So, and he's got one of the greatest names in restaurants, Chris Squires. Not the basis for Yes, but the other guy at 10:55 on later today. So, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Dan Gibson's back again to do the show after me. So I got Dan Gibson at 9, and then I got Matt Russell.
Holy cow! Greatest radio show of all time!
Oh, I think Matt's here early. Holy cow. So Matt's on the 12 o'clock show. So welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. We're hanging out with Richard Studwell. So let me ask you a question. What is the opportunity for the infill developer in this town right now? Where is the opportunity?
In Marana, in Oro Valley. Actually, it is. I would say if I were to build infill project today, I would build it in Marana.
Yep.
And, you know, I used to joke back 15 years ago, I used to tell the city planners that they will eventually tell people that they live in Tucson, a declining little town south of Marana, Arizona. And it's becoming more true because, you know, that's where the innovation is going to come.
I had a couple of friends of mine, there's to the point now where they're like, look, there's something I propositioned years ago. It's where Marana and Oro Valley should get out of Visit Tucson. This is when Vaughn and Walker were running it and start their own thing, right? And it was called the Marana Oro Valley Experience, right? Move. Uh-huh. Now it even means more than ever. Right?
Right.
So what needs to happen is Marana keeps bursting, annexing more in the Pinal, right? There's that huge Arroyo Grande State Trust land that Oro Valley's been kicking the tires on, right? Mm-hmm. This is what you do, is literally you ignore south of the Rito at this point, and you just concentrate on Oro Valley, Marana. Marana's going to go around the edge of the Tortolitas, Oro Valley the other way, and that's where you have your Southern Arizona experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're at, because the city has, they've failed.
Well, there's too many instances of no, and we shouldn't do that. There's too much negativism in the city.
Somos uno. All right, let's go to the phones. We got a question for you. Terry, you're on with Richard Studwell. What's up?
Hi, good morning, guys. Hey. Yeah, not only that, there's a lot of special interest going on, too, with some of these planning and getting permits and so forth. But I got two questions to ask you, Richard, and maybe you know something about this. Like, for example, at Houghton and 22nd Street, it's north of that. There's two large trailers that have been there for years, and the whole area is a residential housing. So I just wondered how they got permits to do something like that. And the second thing is the giant church that they're on 29th and Houghton. They built a big circus tent for a building. And I don't know any place in the city of Tucson has a giant circus tent for a business. And what the city explained to me was that the building was high enough, the tent was high enough to qualify as a building, and they brought in loads and loads of dirt, so it's like 4 foot higher than the elevation around it. Plus, they put insulation inside, so that makes the big tent not a tent. It's a building, though. So, do you know how things like that? Shirley Scott was in office at the time, and she has a lot of friends that go to these churches.
So you're talking about Pentano Christian Church right there.
Yeah,
exactly. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. So. Plus, they built over a wash. They had a wash ordinance where you can't build around the wash or over the wash, and they got the wash ordinance changed. It was in effect. It was there, and I swear to God, Sherry Scott got the wash ordinance changed for that particular wash. How she did that, I don't know. But
all right, I got to give Richard time to answer. So
okay, sure.
Boy, that's
a lot of meat on that.
Shouldn't have given me time because I'm not familiar with that project. But
okay,
what's the first question again?
About the two trailers that were two huge house trailers that were in a residential area, how they can zone that like that?
It could be that the zoning allowed that. Like for instance, in an R2 zone, you can have a modular home, mobile home, as long as it meets certain specifications, which are fairly lenient. So it could be that came in, you know, during that time period when nobody cared and there weren't any architectural controls.
I guess nobody would care for it. Depends who you are, though, whether you care or not. So I don't know. It's sort of strange. Certain things get by and nobody seems to question them. They do question them. Nobody understands what the hell's going on. So.
All right. Well, Terry, thanks for the call. Sorry we didn't have all the answers for you.
No problem. All right.
But have a good day.
All right.
790-2040. We just went out to Saguaro Corners for our German Oktoberfest lunch last week, and I saw the exact tent he was talking about. So it's one of those tents that's kind of a building kind of thing. It's not really made of fabric, but it looks like a tent.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of one of those tweeners.
Gotcha.
And so I don't know how it kind of works there. So, Matt?
You mean a tent-like structure?
Thank you, tent-like structure.
There you go.
Thank you very much. So, Richard, thanks for all your work today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And We'll try to get Richard on a monthly basis and try to be your guide through the goofiness that is the city of Tucson. So thanks for doing what you do out there, sir.
Thank you.
There he is, Richard Studwell. All right, let's roll. If you missed anything today, KVY.com, Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, Brad from Solidarity HealthShare. Brad's one of the smartest guys in that sphere as Dan Gibson, the Dan Gibson sphere, okay? But you got to hear him talk about the Merck drug and how much we're paying for it as a taxpayers and how it kind of is like, it's kind of like ivermectin. And then Jorge Rivas with his great story of escaping El Salvador, coming to America, becoming an American citizen, marrying the love of his life, having three kids, putting them through college, and facing up against the cancel culture and running for governor. So go to RivasForGovernor.com. All right. So tomorrow, Larson, Schweikert, Hogan Gidley from American First, and we're going to cover the top 15 hottest restaurants in Southern Arizona. There's some good ones in there. Then we have Friday Fun Show, Ron Arenas, Rocco for Food Friday. We have the authors of Gastro Obscura, some of the best global food experiences, and then Sean McCluskey, fresh from Vegas. So always some good Vegas stories from McCluskey. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.